If you would, take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Today is Sunday, January the 2nd, 2022. We made it. Mark chapter 4 to begin this morning. And we are going to read verse 24. Mark 4, 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. We read this verse 2 weeks ago when we were reading about the parable of the sower and the seed. And that statement, take heed what you hear, is really a powerful statement when you think about it. Take heed what you hear, what we consistently listen to, what we immerse ourselves in. And in Mark chapter 8, there's a number of places where Jesus Christ said, take heed, but here's one that's pretty interesting. In Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Not only take heed, but beware. Those two words are, in Greek, synonymous. They're similar. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And I think you know that leaven in the Bible was used to sweeten the dough. They didn't put leaven to make it rise. The leaven was to sweeten it. They would put a little bit of this soupy dough into the regular dough. And the idea was that the leaven would permeate the whole loaf, not just the little place where it was. I think there's a verse that says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Right. So it's interesting that Jesus Christ told them to not only take heed, but beware of the leaven or the doctrine or the teaching or the promoting of the religious leaders, as well as what the political leaders were promoting. He spoke that 2,000 years ago. Don't you think it's still apropos? I think so. This morning, I'd like for us to consider what we hear from ourselves about ourselves. What we hear from ourselves, from our own head, about ourselves. Some people call it self-talk, if you will. But go to Proverbs chapter 23, a really familiar verse that's quoted a bunch of times in a bunch of different places. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, or as she thinks in her heart, so is he. Eat, drink, saith he to thee, but his heart's not with thee. This statement, as a person thinks in their heart, so is he. It's true, because it's in the Bible, but it's true both positive and negative. And almost every motivational speaker or self-help book will always come back to this great truth about what you think about yourself is so important. What we tell ourselves, what we think about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, good or bad, true or false, it will always impact our lives, one way or the other. And so, yes, we need to take heed to what we hear externally, but we need to take heed on what we hear concerning our own selves internally. We're in Proverbs, back up to chapter 4. And Proverbs chapter 4, let's start in verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Many times in Proverbs or in Psalms, God will say something and then repeat it a different way, like he does right there in verse 20. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, God's words, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And then verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Whose life? Our life. Out of your own heart come the issues of your own life. Well, I thought do not disturb is supposed to work. Apparently. Sorry about that. So, interrupting a great point. Is that the return? That's kind of weak for a trumpet. Let's read verse 23 again. Keep, or a better translation would be guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your own heart with all diligence, because out of it, your own heart, are the issues of your own life. And then, of course, you know, things we think about, sometimes we speak, right? Go back to, go to Proverbs 18, not back, forward. Proverbs 18. This is a pretty blunt verse. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Thinking or speaking negatively about ourselves is so detrimental. Very detrimental. Didn't Jesus Christ say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? Let's look at that. Luke 6. It's in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. We're in Luke 6, 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what are we voicing about ourselves, you know, internally and then even saying it? Well, I'm this, I, that, I. So what's coming out of our mouth? In Philippians chapter 4. See, really, the whole message this morning is guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And guess whose job that is? Our own. Nobody can guard your own heart for you. That's something we have to do. And in Philippians 4, and this is familiar, verse 6, be careful or anxious. It means mentally distracted for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. God's kind of telling us what where our thoughts ought to go, to think about those things. So when it comes to the leaven of Herod, I'm not oblivious to what's going on, but I can choose to not be immersed in it, right? 24/7. When it comes to the leaven of the Pharisees and perhaps doctrine that we know is contrary to what we know from God's word, I'm not oblivious to that, but I don't have to be immersed into it, have it drive me crazy. And when it comes to the thoughts about ourselves, we are not oblivious to the obstacles or the challenges we may face. We're not oblivious to limitations we may have, you know, we're not in denial, right? That's not what God's word wants us to be, in denial. You know, somebody, you know, maybe sitting in a wheelchair. I can really walk. I just want to sit right now. You know, that'd be in denial. So we're not in denial to obstacles we may face, challenges we may have, or limitations that we may have. But we can choose to not focus on those, but rather think thoughts about who I am in God's eyes, what has God done for me, and who I really am according to his word. You know, like Moses. When God reached out to Moses with the burning bush, Moses was not in the mental, you know, his mind wasn't, you know, when God talked to him, he wasn't like, yeah, I'm the guy to go right down there, march to Pharaoh, tell him we're taking the people out. He had all kinds of excuses. You got the wrong guy. I can't speak very good, right? Like Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Who, me? Who are you talking to? I'm going to deliver Israel from the Midianites? Are you crazy? My family's the least. I'm the least in the family. And others in God's word, what they thought of themselves when God approached them. But when they decided to believe God's words, that I will be with you, I will take care of you, yes, you can go out. When they decided to believe God's words, they just did marvelously, right? So what's the difference between God saying to Gideon, you mighty man of valor, and him believing it? What's the difference in that? And when we read to us, God says, you are more than a conqueror. Who, me? More than a conqueror? You got the wrong guy. I can't. What's the difference? There's still God's words, right? God's word to Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. You'll go deliver the children of Israel out of me? Yes, you. Yes, you. So maybe for you, well, I'll speak for myself. Maybe I need to read that verse more than one time. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. That's putting God's thoughts into my head so that the thoughts I think about myself line up with God's word. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Another familiar verse or verses. Verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes there's very negative strongholds in our own head about ourselves. Casting down, verse 5, imaginations or reasonings, thought process. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And again, it doesn't mean denying the challenges we face or the limitations we may have. But if we choose to always focus on the challenges, the obstacles, the limitations, and only think about those, talk about those, we'll be miserable, because that's all we'll be seeing. That's all we'll be thinking about it. And as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And it's kind of sad, because in our culture today, we live kind of in a victim society. And the bigger the victim you are, the more attention and things that you get, because you're such a victim. And we can't be those that embrace a victim mentality. Yes, we have challenges. Yes, we have obstacles. Sometimes we have limitations. So what? I'm still who God says I am, right? Go to 2 Kings chapter 7. Mm-hmm. We're not going to read the whole record here, but in 2 Kings 6 and 7, we're going to 2 Kings 7. But in the record really starts in chapter 6. But you can read about the king of Syria attacking God's people in the city of Samaria. And they laid siege, which I think you know what that means. You surround the city. Nobody goes in or out. No supplies go in or out. There's a supply chain interrupted. Yeah. Siege the city. And of course, the idea is instead of battle, you starve the people into surrendering. You know, that's the military plan for doing that. And if you read this whole record, you'll see that the conditions in Samaria were absolutely horrible with this sieging that took, you know, took a long time. It's not one day. But they had even resorted to cannibalism. That's how bad it got. But we're going to start in chapter 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, because they're not allowed in the city. And they said one to another, "Why sit here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, you know, to get some food, well, the famine's in the city. We're going to die there. If we sit right here, we're going to die. Now, therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians." Let's just go to the enemy. You know, we just walk into the camp with our hands up. We surrender. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. If we just sit here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, we're going to die. Why don't we just go and surrender and maybe we'll live? But why sit here till we die? And as you know, the record, they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come into the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. There's nobody there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, the Syrian army, "Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." He's hired everybody. There's a bazillion armies coming after us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents, they left their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And if you read this, the record, the lepers go and, you know, have a bunch of food to eat and get some stuff and hide it. And then they go, "We got to tell somebody about this." But the point to look at in this record this morning from what I'm sharing is, why sit here until we die? What a statement. There are people in wheelchairs who live a solitary, depressed life. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. What are they thinking? You know, there are other people in the same circumstances,
yeah,
who choose to live their lives in spite of their limitations. Mm-hmm. They're not in denial. They don't go, "I think I'll run the Boston Marathon next week." They know they're not going to run the Boston Marathon, but they refuse to allow their limitations to put them into a miserable life. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, this is the time of year people make New Year's resolutions. All right, that's it. This coming year, I'm going to... Nothing in life ever changes without action. There's never any action until decisions are made. And decisions come from thoughts. So I'm going to, whatever, exercise more this year. That's what I really need to. I'm going to do that. Okay, those are thoughts. Well, now I'm going to make a decision. I am going to do this. And then I'm going to do this. And then you have to take the action. And then there will be the change. Look at Colossians 1, if you would, please. This year, let's take heed and, of course, beware of the leaven of Herod. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And go into Colossians 1. And most importantly, let's take heed this year to God's words. Let's have, as we looked at 2 weeks ago, ears to hear, meaning a desire to know, to understand, to gain a greater appreciation for God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and believe who God says we are and what he says we can do. And let's speak those words to ourselves. We heard some great words this morning from our Heavenly Father. Those are words we need to speak to ourselves. It's really important to take heed to what we are hearing in our own minds about ourselves. regardless of our situations, regardless of obstacles, regardless of limitations, we're still who God says we are. And look at this verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has done so much for us. We are children of God Almighty. We know that, right? That's not like a new revelation to everybody in here. What? We're children. Yeah, we're children. And so there's many great truths in God's word that God has done for us in the new birth that we know. Those are words we need to speak to. It's one thing to tell someone, Cheryl, you know what? You're a child of God. Oh, I am? Yes, you're a child. How about me telling me that? I'm a child of God. You know, to speak that to myself. That I have God's Spirit in me, and so do you. We are righteous. We looked at this a few weeks ago. I need to tell myself I'm righteous in God's eyes. God has forgiven me all of my trespasses. Me? He's done that for me? Yes. I'm lovely and acceptable in his sight. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Isn't that in Romans? Yep, that's a cool verse. How about me telling myself that? You know, nothing is ever going to separate me from the love of God. And I'll tell you what, you start telling yourself some of those things, and it's humbling. It melts you. It's one thing to tell other people because we want to bless them, we want to encourage them, but you start telling those words to yourself about you, it's just so humbling and just, it melts you. And those are words we can speak to ourselves. God is at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. My God shall supply all your needs. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thinking those thoughts along with having gratitude for what he's already done for us will give us joy, will give us peace, and it will give us confidence to go to our Father for the things that we need. Well, Philippians, we're not far from it. Mine's right on the same page. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I like Reverend Cummins' translation, I prevail in all things by him who empowers me. And on top of all that God has done for us in this life that we can read about, we have a fabulous future to look forward to. Fabulous. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. We can't even imagine the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And before we close in Romans, you can turn there. We're going to get there in a few minutes. I wanted to share something with you. Today would have been my dad's 100th birthday, January 2nd, 1922. My dad fell asleep many years ago, but he came to this country as an immigrant when he was 5 years old. Couldn't speak a word of English, had to learn that. I think he told me the first English he ever learned was from at school. Baby birds go peep, peep, peep. And that was the start. But he only had a fourth grade education. He served in World War II in the Army. He taught me to work, and he was very particular about details. He taught me that nobody owes you anything. You go out and work. And despite a lot of challenges that he had, obstacles, many medical issues in his life, I went to see him in the hospital many times. I was like, geez, he's in the hospital again. But despite all of that, you know, he raised a family, stayed the course, never quit. And meanwhile, when Kathy was 12, her dad, Dean, at age 33, was involved in a very serious accident at his job involving liquid ammonia. He managed to save two of his coworkers, but he was badly burned, spent the next 2 years in and out of the hospital, and got pneumonia 18 times during those 2 years. And at the end of those 2 years, they sent him to a drier climate. And the doctors told Kathy's mom, we give him 6 months to a year, and he'll be gone. So they moved from Columbus, Ohio to Roswell, New Mexico. Dean and his wife and their five children. Kathy was the oldest. He had lost his job, lost his income, lost the house. They foreclosed on it, or, you know, just gone, canceled his insurance, all this stuff. There he is, traveling to New Mexico with five kids. And the company he worked for did agree to pay all related medical expenses. And the compensation they gave him was less than $200 a month and never changed it. I suppose if this would have happened today, you know, would have got a big $1 million settlement. But that's not how it was in the 60s. But he had lost 70% of his lung capacity. 70%, had a permanent tracheotomy, all this stuff. But early on, he said, God is not going to let me die. I've got these five kids to raise. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I think so many times my dad had that mindset of, I need to take care of my family, you know, despite this challenge. And he did raise those five kids. In fact, they had two more. The doctors gave Dean 6 months to a year to live. God gave him 42 more years. And those 42 years weren't easy. I think the kids documented that during those 42 years, he got pneumonia 60 times. he had a heart attack. He broke some bones in an accident. And, of course, he had to deal with, you know, other sicknesses that people deal with. But the thing about him was he never whined or complained or wanted people to feel sorry for him. Over time, he gradually increased his physical strength. He ended up working, getting work doing electrical work for companies or electrical work for this place or that place. And when I met him in 1971, he was doing some electrical maintenance work and had two guys working for him, which is amazing. But despite all the obstacles, he did not quit or give up at all. And for many years, I used to tell people that were complaining about their life, you need to go talk to my father-in-law. Yeah, you want to do some, go talk to my father-in-law. And one time he told me, you know, I think they're just about running out of ways to kill me. It was always, you know, it was just, here is this guy that, you know, basically had nothing, and just because the word's true, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Shortly before he died, he told me, you know, all things considered, I've had a good life. It was just amazing. And you know something about Kathy's dad and my dad? They probably didn't know 10% of what you and I know from God's word. I doubt they went around going, if God be for me, who can be against me? I am more than a conqueror. I don't believe they knew any of those things. I know they believed God, but in terms of how much scripture we're so blessed to know, and yet, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I was also going to add today that when we lose a loved one, it's sad. But there is a day coming, as you know, when there will be no more sickness, ever. And Kathy and I were talking about this the other day. It's like, there's a day coming when we will never pray for healing. No more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. The former things are passed away. We'll never have to pray that. When someone does fall asleep, it is sad. But we have to remember that it's not how long of a life you live, but how you live your life. And I found this quote by Abraham Lincoln. He said, to my way of thinking, it's not the years in your life, but the life in your years that count in the long run. And Dr. Werwell put it this way. It's really not how long we live that counts, but the quality of our lives while we are living. And if you've ever read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, God is very blunt. He goes, there's one event for all people, for the righteous and the wicked. There's one event, the grave. God can't get any more blunt than that, right? But God's word goes on to say in Ecclesiastes 9 to live your life now. Live your life to the fullest now. And we do that regardless of obstacles. Mm-hmm. challenges or limitations. Live your life now, because it goes on in Ecclesiastes to say, you ain't going to do nothing when you get in the grave. You're not going to praise God. You're not going to do anything. You know, we go to sleep. So God's word's so wonderful to give us that information. And according to the scriptures, God's done so much for each and every one of us for this life, and he promises so much more in the life to come. In Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justified us? No. Who's he that condemns? Christ? Is Christ condemning us? Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, and that's affliction, mental pressure, from anything, mental pressure, is that going to separate us from the love of Christ? Distress, it's where you feel like you're just backed into a corner, nowhere to go. Or persecution, or famine, plague, COVID. Or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. And you know where you get persuaded? Between your two ears. Each one of us. I am persuaded, Paul said. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a word, huh? What a word. So, in this new year, we can choose to rewrite the script of our lives if we want to. We really can expand our lives in spite of our past, in spite of obstacles, in spite of limitations. Take heed to what you're hearing in your own mind about yourself. How do you feel about yourself? God says you are more than a conqueror, you mighty man of valor. Father God, how blessed we are with the greatness of your wonderful word that helps to direct our lives. And Father, how you're so clear about things we ought to think about, and your warnings about guarding our heart. Thank you for caring so much about us and for the life you've given each one of us to live today at this very moment. What a precious gift it is. And Father, we so long for the return of Jesus Christ, and what a great day that's going to be. But until then, you have not left us helpless nor hopeless. Thank you for your word, that we can believe your words, and Father, that we can just walk forward with great confidence and trust in you, our loving Heavenly Father. And I thank you for these things and for the privilege of teaching this morning. And I pray, Father, for all those that need healing this morning, that you would bring that healing to them, because you are a God that heals. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.